Welcome to the Rock Church's newest podcast series, Coffee Conversations. In this series, Josh Finkley will sit down with a member of the Rock family in one of our C3 coffee bars to discuss in further detail the sermon from that week. Today, you'll hear Josh Finkley and Madison Lowe talk about week 2 of You Matter. Enjoy!
Okay, so hey, we're starting Coffee Conversations. It is the last Monday of March, which is just crazy, all right? And I'm sitting here in our Conway Coffee Bar, recording this right now, getting ready to send it out to you guys. And I'm sitting here with Maddie. Maddie, do me a favor, just introduce yourself. Tell us like where you're from, maybe how long you've been at church. Just let people know who Madison is.
All right, well, I'm Maddie. I grew up here in Myrtle Beach, so kind of boring. Also, I think it's kind of cool, but so half of my family is kind of from the area and the other half is kind of from further out. But I started going to church here right when the Coastal campus opened, so okay. It was about November 2017. So been here I guess 2.5-ish years.
Okay.
And I now work at C3 Coffee Bar, so that's pretty cool. A lot different. Like, nobody in my family drinks coffee, so I had to learn everything from the beginning.
So do you drink coffee now?
Not really.
Not really. You just know how to make it and give it a good...
Yep. I smell it a lot. I can smell when it's right and when it's not.
So. Okay. All right. What is the most often ordered drink at a C3 coffee bar?
Probably between, like, a caramel latte and a caramel macchiato. Those are probably the two most common. Now, the most common with the baristas that they like for themselves are cortados.
Yes, that is my fave. That I like a cortado. Mm-hmm. Just a nice little, it's your preacher. It's a nice little shot mm-hmm. of coffee, okay? But that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like in a shot glass and it's half coffee, half cream, and it tastes delicious. So mm-hmm. The idea of the coffee bar, so it's cool. That's where we're at. You've been helping out. I know you work at both bars and mm-hmm. just help serve people that way. I want to ask this question because we were talking about hurting this weekend. Mm-hmm. And as we're talking about hurting, I'm just curious, has there ever been a time in your life like you've been hurt?
Yes. So I grew up playing sports all throughout my life, I guess, pretty much. In high school, I played 3 different sports. But my sophomore
Which sports? Oh, okay, let's, okay. Like, I yes. want details here.
So I played volleyball, played basketball, and I played softball. So softball was my main one, though.
It's your main one. Was it your main one because that's what you were best at, or it was also the one you liked the most?
Both. I think because I liked it the most, I started spending more time with it.
Okay.
And then I got better at it than all the other ones.
So. Okay. I get you.
Volleyball is really cool, but I didn't learn how to play volleyball until I was in 9th grade.
Uh-huh.
So I think if I would have learned sooner, it may have been close to a tie to softball, I think softball still would have won over.
In volleyball, were you more of a hitter or more of a back row defender?
More of a hitter.
Okay.
Kind of clumsy. But I do like to dive on the floor, so sometimes they put me back there because I like to dive. But I'm a little bit clumsy.
A little clumsy. Yeah. So what did you play in softball then?
Softball, mainly infield. In high school, I played mainly first base.
Okay.
But when I played travel ball, I played more third because not a lot of people like to play third.
No, like put a mask on it. Like,
oh, I love it so much.
Really?
It's so exhilarating.
Like, that ball can come so fast.
Oh yes, that's the best.
Can I confess something?
Yes.
I believe the hardest sport I've ever attempted in my life was fast pitch softball. Like, I grew up playing baseball, played college baseball. Mm-hmm. I could hit the ball. And I'm not trying to say that in an arrogant way. I was a good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played fast pitch softball. Mm-hmm. And the very first time I went to swing, like, I started like right there and I heard the ball hit the mitt. I was just like,
mm-hmm.
I am so far behind. I never hit a ball past to the left of second base. I hit the right field that entire summer that I played fast pitch softball.
Yes.
So hard.
Oh, yes. And then it becomes like a guessing game, too, because especially like in college, then all the pitchers, like their balls move more. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I really faced a pitcher with a rise ball. So, you know, it looks so good and you go to hack at it and then all of a sudden it's above your head. Like, what happened?
I'm
for sure over
weird.
The fence and it's, yeah.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. Another bad thing, and this is like confession. Like, I feel like I'm in a confessional right now confessing these things. I've only been thrown out stealing one time in my life. And it was in fast pitch softball. Like, again, it's like I played all the way through college, and it's just like, nope. And all of a sudden, like, I was like, oh, I'm stealing. And I was like, no big deal. And I guess because the ball went from the mound to the plate to the second base so fast, because so tight, like, I got picked off. And I was just like, how in the world?
Oh, yeah.
So.
And the rules are different. You have to wait till it leaves their hands.
Yes, yeah.
So it throws off your timing a little bit. I was never a base stealer. Never. I would try sometimes because I was a good base runner and I like to pick with people's heads. Like, I was kind of like one of those mind games people. But no, speed, not my thing.
I get you. I get you. Well, this goes all back to I asked you if you've ever been hurt. Sorry. Yes. I got way off track.
Oh, so that's one of my favorite things to talk about is like battle scars and
stuff. Oh, yeah?
But I guess the one time that was probably the worst was I was playing first base and it was the last home game of the season. So right before playoffs, and it was the first pitch of the game, I think, and went back to the pitcher, and she bobbled it, and so she rushed her throw, and it was kind of up the line a little bit, and I went to reach out for it, and then the runner caught my glove, and so my arm stayed straight, but this part just went
I'm grossing out right now.
I got a little scar right here.
That's not a little scar. That's like... Wow.
Yeah. So at first, like, I thought it was just the doctor I went to kind of said, oh, it's fine. And then he said, but I'm not the doctor you're supposed to be at, so you'll have to come again so he can confirm. But you probably just have to sit out for, like, 2 weeks. And then the next day I went back, he was like, yeah, so you tore everything in there, and you need surgery. And I'm in the surgery center tomorrow, so you want to have surgery tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock? I was like, I guess so.
I don't want to, but what else?
But I guess if you're telling me I need to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, and apparently the surgery went, like, longer than they expected, but it was fun. I had a little robo arm, so it was cool. I got to walk around. And I was good by volleyball season. I think I missed, like, the first couple weeks of workouts, but by the time tryouts started, I was fine. So,
well, that's
really
good.
Just the summer off.
There you go. It was just the summer of children, so.
Yep.
Well, I asked that question because, you know, we talked a lot this weekend about how do you help hurting people? Because we know right now in this season, there's just a lot of pain out there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hurt that comes from illness. You know, I know several people who are dealing with the virus right now. Mm-hmm. And there's pain there. There's pain in people's finances. Like, so many people have been laid off. So many people are worried about the future of their jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's pain that just comes from other areas. So we talked a lot about that idea of hurting and looked at the story from Luke 5 and the first part of that story about how if we really want to help hurting people, we got to carry people to Christ no matter what the cost is. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of talked about this, be committed to the cause no matter the cost, mm-hmm. because we got to carry people to Christ. So I'm just curious from your vantage point as mm-hmm. just someone who's a young adult mm-hmm. who just listened this weekend, mm-hmm. what did that, how do you put that into your life? How do you apply that? What thoughts came to your mind while you were mm-hmm. hearing that? Like, mm-hmm. I just want to kind of see how the sermon kind of lives out in everyday living in your world.
I think one of the biggest things that stood out to me, like, especially with that story with the men carrying their friends and putting them through the roof, like,
yeah,
just how bold they were with that, and like how crazy it sounds. And I'm sure, like, some people would think, like, maybe it wasn't that crazy then. That's definitely crazy, taking the roof off someone else's house. And
that's not an everyday thing.
No, not at all. And so I think, like, I've also been reading Love Does by Bob Goff.
Yeah.
And there's so many stories, so I'm just reading it kind of slow and just, like, letting it all sink in. But I think some of the similarities with that is just, like, being bold, loving people. And it's something, like, with me personally, I think I get distracted with everything. Mm. So especially right now, like, where social media can be used for so much good, it's, like, trying to separate me being distracted with all, like, the memes or with what other people are doing or stuff like that. Like, I get addicted so fast. Or just, like, how opening day was supposed to be last week for the Major League Baseball. So just watching, like, highlights from the last 10 opening days and stuff like that. Yeah. It's like, okay, how can I use social media, like, the way it's intended right now to reach out to people instead of using it as a distraction. And yeah. Even not even like times right now, but even, you know, before the coronavirus got like super big and to where it started affecting everyday lives, just trying to, all the distractions, not just social media, but just some of the like selfish things I do and like watching TV all the time or just isolating myself just because I can kind of deal.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that kind of sticks out to me, like to be more intentional with reaching out to people. And with me right now, like where I didn't just go to Coastal, I actually grew up here. So I know people that still live here, or if they moved away, like their parents still live here and I'm still close with them. So I can, you know, still talk to them, make sure they're doing okay and stuff like that, instead of just watching Netflix all day long kind of deal, which is so easy to do.
No, it is. And it's especially right now because so much of normal life is closed. So we find ourselves just jumping online, reading the news, watching Netflix, whatever it might be, and distracting ourselves rather than taking advantage of something, you know. And so I love how you bring up that this idea of being bold with intentionality. You know what I mean? Of that there are people in my life that I need to boldly go to them with the intentions of encouraging or loving or whatever it might be, as you know, as you were saying. And I love that idea. And I do think so many times that we miss that boldness. You know what I mean? Because we're afraid of embarrassing ourselves, or we're afraid of stepping up and saying something. Yet, I mean, these guys ripped a roof off of somebody's house for Christ. You know, do that today, you're probably going to go to jail. You know, you go rip somebody's roof off. No, I got to tell you about Jesus. You know what I mean? But there is just something great about that boldness of saying, no, we're going to get our friend to Christ. Because they just felt like a miracle could happen. So, which is really the second part of the whole of the message, was that because of their boldness, Christ was able to do a physical miracle and a spiritual miracle. So let's talk about that for just a second, because I know sometimes that can be, we can have questions about the idea that does God still work miracles? But then we also have the, well, how do I live in a life or live out my life, my faith in a way that that I believe miracles can happen? So I just want to hear your opinion based off of that kind of that back end of the story and back end of the message.
Yeah. So I definitely, something I've been focusing on the last few months is being more intentional with my prayer too, because I think it can be like really monotonous, like just praying before I eat or just praying before bed, just because, you know, it's a routine type of thing. But to actually just even like just to sit in silence and kind of, you know, just feel whatever God wants me to feel, or listen, or just be in silence, not distracted by other things. And I think through that is where I've found some change and maybe some like personal, maybe not like a miracle like other we may think something like big and grand, but just small changes that are implemented in like everyday life. And then to where now I realize everything I do can be, you know, God's got a hand in. It's not just I have to do something grand, like be a doctor and go overseas and do stuff like that. I can, you know, make someone a coffee and have a conversation for, and just sit and talk, especially right now we don't have a lot of people coming through that often. So just sitting and talking with people in the drive thru. So many people are talkative and dying to
for some
contact
point.
With somebody else besides, you know, their dog.
Yeah.
So I've had so many conversations.
Wait. People. Amanda, who is our producer who does this stuff, she's fine just talking with her dog. Like what's your dog's name?
Ellie.
like follow Amanda on Instagram and you learn about Ellie, okay? But I love your point that, yeah, just people even in the drive-thru, they just want to have some conversation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so so that's good. And I loved how you brought up that we so often, we want to see the parting of the Red Sea. We want to see the sun stand still. We want to see, you know, the dead being brought back to life. We want to see that kind of miracle. And I think it's natural for all of us to want to see that. You know what I mean? When you're praying for somebody's healing, you want that big miracle. But I think we forget how often God does a miracle, like every day. You know, every hour. You know what I mean? Because a miracle really is a movement of God, you know? So I love the fact that you brought it out, that just even in your prayer time, you just see God doing small miracles mm-hmm. throughout it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I brought up that a miracle is anytime somebody gives their life to Christ as well. So mm-hmm. just curious about your testimony, like when you came to Christ. I don't know if you grew up in church and you mm-hmm. came to Christ when you were a little kid or mm-hmm. if it was when you were, you know, in high school or whatever it might have been. So, because that's a miracle mm-hmm. that you have salvation. It's a miracle that I have salvation. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to hear your story on that.
Yeah, so I did grow up in church a little bit. So my parents both were kind of, I think especially my dad, forced to, you know, dress up, go to church every day. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing they said, like, they'd love to go to church every now and then, but they're not going to force it every day because, mm-hmm. you know, they were forced as kids and then they just kind of grew away from it because they really weren't relating. Mm-hmm. And so I went with my grandparents that live in Myrtle Beach. I'd go with them, and it's a really traditional Methodist church. And I was the only kid there. The next, probably youngest, was in their 30s or 40s.
Wow.
So
wow.
I was, you know, but it was fun at times. And sometimes there were a couple other kids, like when new neighborhoods, mm-hmm. it's in Carolina Forest, so new neighborhoods, they try to reach out. But most of the time, I was the only one there. And then eventually, I kind of left that once, you know, I got to middle school. And then in high school, I was just always jealous of, you know, everybody talking about their youth groups and they're going on adventures and they're meeting every week and meeting new people. And I was like, I want to do something like that. So I got involved with a church around the corner from my house and got pretty strong in that for about a year. And then it kind of faded away a little bit. They started focusing. They're more middle schoolers than high schoolers. So my senior year, I kind of stopped going. And then so pretty much then until I started going to The Rock my junior year of college, so 2017, fall of 2017, I was kind of didn't have a church home or anything like that. And then it was rough at first. You know, The Rock was way different, way bigger. You know, and first of all, it was like all the way in Conway. So coastal is probably like really far from me, but driving all the way out here.
All the way. Like a
30
whole,
minute
like,
drive.
30 minutes?
Yeah. Wow. Well, in the morning, like traffic and stuff like that, church traffic. 30-minute drive, and then I was like, well, am I supposed to dress up? I'll wear jeans, because that's dressing up for me, and, you know, a shirt maybe without writing on it. That means it's, you know, fancy enough.
I love it. Jeans and a shirt without writing, that's like dress code for semi-formal for Maddie, okay?
Yep. So, and I was all alone, and there were all these lights and, like, loud music, and I was like, I don't know what's going on in here. But and there's no hymnal either. I was like, oh, okay. And then, you know, it started to grow on me a little bit. And then I remember hearing, oh, we're opening up the Coastal campus, which is how I kind of found out about The Rock anyway. Hearing about C3 Coastal opening up, and so I went there, still alone, but Hannah Lockaby's mom, Miss Polly, so I remember she sat by me because she didn't know me and just started talking to me. And it felt a little more comfortable. So at least it made me want to go back. I was still uncomfortable, but I was like, you know what? I'll keep going a little bit. And then out of the blue, I just signed up for the Dominican trip.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody. I didn't know any names, anybody really at the church yet. But I just was like, I'm just going to do it. Why not? And so that's really when I think God spoke to me the most over the next couple months was, you know, as my last semester at Coastal and senior project and everything, and then it was like, you know, right in the middle of getting everything done, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna be gone for a week. I told my advisor I'm not gonna be able to do anything over there, so whatever happens happens, and I'll just come back, have to work harder, but I gotta drop everything right now and I'm going. So
wow.
And then I got baptized that next Easter Sunday, so April.
Wow. So 2 years ago on Easter, you got baptized.
2 years ago,
so basically what you're saying, I want to recap this because I want you to hear this. This is so beautiful that a college student hears about an opening, a new church opening. And a lady, Polly, who many of you watching this might know Polly, she just sees you and comes and sits next to you and starts a friendship. And through that friendship, you keep coming back. Mm-hmm. You sign up for a mission trip. Mm-hmm. On a mission trip, God does work in your life. You come home and you take that final step of baptism. Mm-hmm. All because a new church with a familiar face, not familiar to you, but mm-hmm. familiar to those of us at the Rock, mm-hmm. said, I'm going to go and love somebody and do something about it. Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting where you're sitting doing kingdom work. I love that. I love that because it's God doing a miracle in your life, but using people to do it, which is the whole thing we talked about this mm-hmm. weekend, mm-hmm. is if we work together, people saying as a church, we're going to plant a church. And then Polly being one of those people who went to help plant that church, reaching mm-hmm. out to you and as a friend, and then you taking steps of Christ. We work together. He does the work. Mm-hmm. We work together. He does the work. That's like, you just gave me a Anything else you want to add as we get ready to wrap up?
Not that I can think of. Maybe one little thing. One thing that really warmed my heart is I have a large portion of my family lives in Florence. Mm-hmm. And so they were all kind of, you know, once this happened, they're all locked up and all together. And they all just went to, you know, pretty much like the matriarch's house. Mm-hmm. And they just started doing TikTok videos as a family. So we have like ages from, I think, was it 7 or 8 all the way up to like 70s doing TikTok videos together. And I think that's just one way. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, sit at home, you know, you don't yes. have to be secluded. You can, you know, bring people to Christ by just being with your family, whoever's with you.
Yeah.
And that was something that really warmed my heart. And then my dad's like, we got to one up them. So, which I don't know how that's going
to
happen.
So what you're saying is we need to follow you on TikTok so that we can see just how cool this is.
Yeah. Well, we've been able to avoid this so far. And
hey, whatever. I've seen you and Abby, my daughter Abby. I've seen you all doing your little TikToks over here in the bar, doing all those dance moves. And that's as much dancing as you're going to get from Finkley, by the way. So, but that's cool. I love that point because I do think we can reclaim some family time that we've been missing right now mm-hmm. and just play some games, have some fun, laugh. Mm-hmm. We still need laughter and humor in the midst of crisis. You know, not that is out of balance, but that is good humor, good joy that is moving in this. So mm-hmm. that's cool. Well, Maddie, I appreciate you. If you guys ever come to either Conway or Coastal Coffee Bar, she works at Conway a lot, also works at Coastal a lot, though. So chances are you might run into Maddie. You might see her slinging some drinks. The Conway Bar is open right now, primarily for drive-through. But we want to encourage you to, you know, if you need some caffeine, come by. And she, especially during daytime hours, she might be one of the faces that greets you. So hope you enjoyed the message this weekend. Hope you enjoyed coffee conversations with Josh and Maddie. I know I've enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed it. Maddie, thank you for being our guest. I will say this as I wrap up. She was really nervous about doing this, by the way. But you know, we've used staff, and we want to use anybody. In this season, we kind of have to, you know, obviously be careful for social distancing reasons. But so glad that Maddie was willing to do this. So, all right, that's it. On the count of three, we're going to say peace out. 1, 2, 3.
Peace out.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about The Rock, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search Rock C3 for our app. Have a great week!